want to live a life on fire and on mission. You want to be filled with such conviction and drive that you stop caring about what anyone thinks. You want to face each day alive, authentic, and fully present in every moment. With your wife, with your kids, on the street, at work. You want to bring yourself to the table and to stop bringing the watered-down, nice, what-everyone-wants version of you. You want that self to be a man who is burning in passion for Jesus, unafraid to bring his kingdom to anyone in your path, no matter what it costs you. You want to love the one in front of you without fear, without needing love back, and without reserve. You want to husband well. You want to father well. You want to shepherd your life well. You want to be a safe pillar for anybody around you. You want to experience God for real, to not just believe, but to know that he's got you and that he'll show up on your behalf, that he'll show up through you. You want to get to the end of your race and say, yep, I gave it everything. Jesus, you know I'm all in. And you want to know just how to get there. Welcome to Man Warrior King. I'm your host, Matt Halleck. Congratulations. You're among the violent taking the kingdom by force. You're among the chosen answering the call to rise above yourself. You're in the forge being stripped down and strengthened, and you will rise stronger, solid, unshakable. You are a man. You're a warrior. You are a king. Good morning. Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck here coming at you with another episode of the Man Warrior King podcast and video cast. And I am just... I'm coming to you today with some thoughts that I was getting this morning from my time with Jesus. And I felt like he's been leading me I felt like he's been leading me to start the book of Mark. And there are some really powerful concepts, some powerful lessons in there that I think would serve us all really well if we were to let them sink in. Because as men in the kingdom, we are obviously wanting to go after Jesus. We are obviously wanting to pursue him. That is our desire, right? And we have a bunch of crap that happens in our minds that gets in the way of this. And it shouldn't. So this message coming at you today, this episode coming at you today, is getting at some of the crap that gets in our way when we're like, yes, I'm in, Jesus. I want to follow you. Because here's the deal, you guys. We have this conflict. We have this battle, this war that's going on in us. On the one side, we want so badly to follow after Jesus. And on the other side, we have the resistance. And that resistance, I've seen so far in Mark chapter 1, can take two forms. And there's more out there, but these are the two that I saw in Mark 1. All right? If you look at Mark 1, Mark 1, verse 4 through 8, it talks about John the Baptist. And actually, even before that, it references the prophecy from Isaiah about John the Baptist. But it talks about him, and it says that in verse 4, he was the messenger who appeared in an uninhabited region, preaching a baptism of repentance for the complete cancellation of sins. And it says, a steady stream of people came to be dipped in the Jordan River as they publicly confessed their sins, and they came from all over southern Israel, including nearly all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. So here is John, who has no official affirmation. He has no official authority given to him by the powers that be. He's this random dude who how does he even know who he is? How does he even know that he is meant to go out into the wilderness and to preach the gospel like a madman? How does he know that? I can't find any way that he knew that in Scripture. So we're left with assuming that God spoke to him. I'm sure his parents also spoke to him about the miraculous nature of his birth and what God spoke over him then. But he, in order to preach the revelation that he had, he must have been getting away, getting close with God. And then when he comes onto the scene and starts ministering in the kingdom, he does it in a way that is outside of the existing structure, outside of the existing religious okay stuff. But it was appealing to the people. It was changing lives. And so we, men, we think that in order to follow Jesus, in order to truly serve in ministry, I have got to get the okay from my church leadership. Now, please do not hear me what I'm not saying. I'm not saying that you need to just not be in fellowship, you need to not go to church, you need to not be a part of any group of believers or anything like that. I'm not even saying that authority is bad. I'm not saying that at all. But what I am saying is that so many of us tend to look at ourselves and say, well, if God wanted to use me, then this leader would notice me and promote me. But what if no people noticing us is not the primary way that we know whether God wants to use us or not? What if it's his voice that tells us? What if it's spending time alone with him in his word and in prayer and hearing from him? What if God's asking you to start a podcast and speak to men about the kingdom, even though nobody in your church has told you to do so or even endorsed you? John the Baptist was not endorsed by anybody except God. And he was crazy. See, we think of him as this amazing man sometimes, but like he's a crazy dude. I was just watching The Chosen, and when they introduce John the Baptist, the character calls him Creepy John, which is funny. But like, yeah, he was not socially acceptable. He broke the norms. And following Jesus might not be comfortable. Our culture is so obsessed with getting a platform and getting a following and having people accept you and like you and becoming noticed and famous and having followers here and there and everywhere. But what if that's not truly life-changing? What if what you are called to do looks crazy, but you are changing lives and you're bringing the kingdom? So obeying Jesus, following Jesus, really looks uncomfortable. It doesn't always fit in. Now, the next thing that I noticed in Mark 1 was Jesus' baptism and temptation, right? It says in Mark 1, verse 12, immediately after his baptism, which included immediately after the Father spoke from heaven in a miraculous, supernatural way, and the Holy Spirit descended like a dove on Jesus. So the Father spoke, "You are my Son, my cherished one, and my delight is in you." And it says, immediately after this, he was compelled. Other translations say he was driven by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, to go into the wilderness, into an uninhabited desert region. You guys, when we obey Jesus and follow him, we face the resistance in our mind that tells us, oh my goodness, I must be doing it wrong. I must be off because
this, that, or the other thing is against me because the circumstances are not making this easy. The circumstances are not facilitating my action in this way. It seems like I'm missing something. Maybe now isn't the time to serve Jesus. I mean, honestly, Jesus just heard from the Lord, from the Father, "You're my son, I'm pleased with you." And then he's literally driven into the wilderness where there is nothing. There is no affirmation. There is no signs that he's on the right track. In fact, there's the opposite. He's being tempted and battling with darkness for 40 days. So I think if anybody had reason to doubt that he was on God's correct path, excuse me for a moment, it might have been Jesus. And I know it's not fair because he's the Son of God, but nonetheless, he was operating from a place of connection with the Father. He says that himself. He said he's being led by the Spirit. That's exactly how we are called to live. So I believe Jesus had reason to doubt, but didn't. Because it was the voice of the Father that drove him. It was the voice of the Spirit that drove him. It was those things that fed him, literally, that fueled him. He says that himself, that he has food that we don't know about, that his food is to do the will of the Father, right? So we need to stop looking at our circumstances as signs of whether or not we're on the right track. And we need instead to be developing such a deep connection with the Father, a deep connection with the Holy Spirit, that we start to learn and listen to his voice. And we let that determine whether we are on the right track or not. This does not create pride, it creates humility. But it creates a fixedness. It creates a fortitude. It creates a vision set on your goal, not getting derailed by everybody's opinion. There is not pride in valuing the voice and opinion of God above others. There's pride when you start thinking that you are better than everybody else and that they don't know what they're talking about and they have no room to say anything. But we've got to stop looking at externals as signs that we are on the right track or not. That's all we've got for this episode of the Man Warrior King podcast and videocast. Thank you for listening. Keep tuning in. We'll have more goodness for you. God bless you, gentlemen. This is Matt Halleck signing off and thanking you again for being a part of the Man Warrior King community. If you want more, head over to manwarriorking.com. And please remember to take just a couple seconds to subscribe on iTunes and to leave a 5-star rating and a review so that more and more men can join us as we become awesome. You are a kingdom man. Go out, take more ground, push back darkness. Remember, you bring value into your home, your work, and your circle. You are not a taker, you are a giver. Abundance is your atmosphere.